Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Get Boston Sports Original on the go.
Wherever you go.
Just download the Odyssey app.
We're right back to it. Ken and Curtis on WEEI.
You said sometimes maybe you take what Steph does for granted. You put a lot of finals games next to him. Where would you kind of put this in his finals performance resume?
Yeah, I think probably number one. I mean, this was nearly a must-win game, and to go out there and shoot as efficiently as he did, and grab 10 rebounds, and they're attacking him on defense. I mean, his conditioning is second to none in this league. So Steph played incredible.
Tatum was mostly awful after the first quarter. Story of game four, back to the Bay. But we've had a couple good weeks here, Curtis. Now, the Red Sox are 8-1 in their last nine. Bruins fired Cassidy. I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing. Depends.
I would love your thoughts at some point on that. Want to do that?
Well, can I give you a quick 60-second take on this? When it first happened, I thought, good, Krejci's coming back. And if Krejci comes back because they fired Cassidy, it's worth it. And then Bergeron doesn't retire, and Marsh is out for a while, but fine. You have another year to go for it. And if it keeps Pasta happy, because I don't think Pastrnak loved Cassidy either, then maybe that's good. But intel sources have told me that the Bruins are operating that Bergeron is Dunsky, and you know they're looking into Pastrnak trades, I guess, and Krejci's not coming back, so it looks like a mess. So why wouldn't you just ride Cassidy out then?
Because
I don't get it.
What has been Cassidy's biggest problem as a head coach of the Bruins?
Adjusting in the playoffs, like line matching, or
communicating with young players. So
yeah.
Why would you have a rebuild with that guy?
I guess.
I mean, it pains me that I know the most about hockey when everybody thinks I'm an idiot, but that's like...
But you can't
lose... You had Cam Neely at the end of the season who said to everyone that he's firing Cassidy without saying it. If you listened to that broadcast, you knew there was one person that was held accountable. It was not Cam. It was not Donnie. It was not anybody else. It was Bruce Cassidy.
Yeah.
He needs to change. We need to make changes.
Yeah.
Did Bruce Cassidy, as we concluded the season, at any point during his tenure as the Boston Bruins head coach, seem like a guy that would respond well to that and be like, oh, yeah, I'll adjust to what they say?
You got to have a fall guy in the crew.
We all said that day. Bruce Cassidy was the fall guy. Now that all these injuries have occurred or have been dumped out there, the news of them, you see that it's going to be a rebuild. It's not going to be a title contender.
Yeah.
Why would you bring a coach back who struggled to reach those players?
It depends who they hire, I guess. I just think he's a good coach. It's tough to find. I don't want Barry Trotz in here. I mean, who are they going to hire?
I don't know, but it didn't seem like... I know Cassidy, during his Zoom interview with the local media that were basically feeding him grapes during... Like, it didn't seem like he wanted to leave, but
no.
Why would he want to coach this team with this long of a runway before they're going to be resuming contention?
I don't think it's that long of a runway. I mean, you listen to Raycroft.
Okay, who's their goalie?
Well, they have two. Swayman.
Right, which means you have none. Write that down at home.
Swayman and Linus.
Okay, they have two goalies, which means you have none. Mm-hmm. So...
Oh, yeah, another rumor. Carlo on the trade block.
Yeah, Carlo... Well,
did you see that Fluto said that Pastrnak wasn't going to come back as long as Sweeney's the GM?
Yeah, I mean...
Well, I mean, okay, go home. I mean, who doesn't play for a team because of who the GM is? Who cares?
Well, because he's going into the last year of his deal, right?
Yeah.
And he saw how they treated Krug and Krejci, and he's best friends with Krejci, so
okay.
Apparently he hates Sweeney.
Krug, from what I hear, and I actually am not lying, hates it in St. Louis, misses Boston, and he got plenty of money to leave. So how did Krug get hurt? You got a massive deal in free agency.
Wait till Fabian Lysell gets up here. They'll turn this whole thing around.
But that's the thing, is it's like, I don't know who would want this
and
job.
And Torts is coaching him.
They're not going to bottom out. They're okay. Their roster is decent enough that they'll be like middling, I guess. But
who's back from the perfection line?
Well, until November, nobody. Marshall will be back
so
at some point.
So the perfection line has turned into the blank line.
No, Pasta will be here next year.
Wait, I thought you said you're trading Pasta.
Well, maybe. That sounds like a trade deadline move to me.
Why would you wait to the deadline? Why wouldn't you have all 29 other teams eligible to trade for him right now?
People get desperate at the deadline.
Ooh, I like that. But
desperation
leads
to bad moves.
I think, you know what? Just like we saw with the Celtics, change is good. Got to mix it up a bit and get things on a different direction.
But the Red Sox are rolling. Bill is so confident in his team, he canceled offseason workouts, so we're done until the fall there. And it's Courtney's wedding today. And we just wrapped up the road show, and the U.S. Open's in town this week, and the weather is beautiful. So don't let it get you down this weekend.
Yeah, a big L for you. May, not the nicest month. Absolutely gorgeous right now.
May rocked. Are you kidding me?
Nope. Started out crappy, ended crappy.
That day at the Beachcomber was, man, that was a great June day. Was that perfect on Tuesday or what?
I would say recently has been several of the best days of my life. That day just was perfect. It was an unbelievable broadcast. The weather was amazing. We had a nice little lunch in P-Town, drove home.
While we're navel-gazing here, Dale will not like this. Back to the Celtics in a second. But can we just, I want to just give a little appreciation to all our major seven affiliates that we went to over this road show. It was awesome to connect with them. Basically, they did the heavy lifting, all our affiliate stations, and welcomed us in. We're very generous with hospitality the night before. Took care of Wiggy as much as possible,
yes,
you know?
He is the biggest asker of the crew.
Yep. But he's a star. So Springfield 105.5, our affiliates out there, kicked it off. They did a great job, and they were the first ones, which was tough.
That was an elite dinner.
The two New Hampshire road shows, Keene and Brattleboro 93.5 at the showroom. Awesome place at the showroom. I didn't make it to Upper Valley, 94.3 and 94.5 up there in the Upper Valley, but you guys did.
Great hospitality.
Signs, they had Greg Hill signs all around town.
Yeah, it was like he was
outstanding.
Mayor.
Providence crowd rocked, from what I am told, our 103.7 affiliate at Whalers.
Next year, we need to kick it off at Whalers. I think if we do this again, kick it off at Whalers, end of the Beachcomber every year. The Matunic Oyster Bar should be a place that we broadcast from 3 days a week.
Worcester, we're on 1440 AM in Worcester, and there are a lot of AAF fans there. Polar Park was outstanding.
Yep.
And Greg threw out a horrible first pitch, which will last forever.
That was my highlight of the whole thing, was Greg's pitch.
Portland and Sacco, 95.5 and 95.9 in Portland, our affiliates up there. The highlight was Curtis driving to Brunswick, Maine, and not the Brunswick, an hour past the event. Then lashing out at me on Twitter when he reported that he drove an hour past it.
And he was almost to Canada, and he figured it out?
Right. And he was mad at me for it. Why would you get mad at me for that?
Well, I would have expected, you know, hey, that's funny. How you doing? Instead, I get
that's
on.
That's what I said.
No, you didn't. You said it on Twitter.
Yes.
Are we really like, I'm fine. We rehashed things like 3 months ago. It's fine. I'm not mad. I was frustrated in the moment. Have you worked with me before? But I was so stupid that night because I'm driving and I'm seeing planes land at Portland. And I looked at the map before I left Southie and I was like, oh, I've been to Cape Elizabeth. It's a little bit south of there. And I'm driving past Portland, and I'm like an idiot. I'm like, oh, the highway must, like, wrap around back down. And I keep going. Oh, it was so bad.
And the Cape 96.3, our great Cape affiliate, and the Beachcomber was outstanding this week. Probably the best for last. You know, I don't hate to rank them because they were all good, but it was a great crowd.
It was awesome. It was an unbelievable day. That spot, I can't believe I'm 38 years old, and I had never been to the Beachcomber. Mm-hmm. It is the most picturesque spot this side of Hawaii I've ever seen.
And yesterday, Lord Hobo, from 2 to 8, we love the Lord Hobo Seaport folks, which is booming right now. The Seaport is booming. Steve in the truck. He's all over New England as well. Hi, Steve.
Gentlemen, how are we doing this morning?
Okay, how you feeling after that one last night?
I am so sick and tired. That guy that was on before me was right. I'm so sick and tired of the Marcus Smart criticism. Now, let me ask you a question. The big three on this team are Tatum, Brown, and Smart. Am I wrong or right?
You are right.
Okay, so there's 85 shots taken during the game. Marcus Smart has 18. The other two have 23 and 24, whatever it is. Who's taking the shots if Smart's not taking them? Horford? I don't think so. Pritchard? I don't think so. Grant? Who's he hitting? So you got three guys, and this is where Wiggy's right in this respect of having another shooter in here, like a Bradley Beal. I don't necessarily think Bradley Beal's a guy, but you do need another shooter. If you don't want Smart taking 18 shots, you got to distribute the ball. He's right about them not moving. I'm sorry. He is totally right, Marcus Smart. They don't go to the ball. They don't set themselves up. And when they do, they take easy layups and they're blowing them.
So what happened, Steve? If it's not Smart's fault, what happened last night?
I'm going to tell you what happened. Jaylen Brown, two terrible turnovers. When he tripped and fell on one, the other one he just stripped. Jason Tatum going up for a jump shot at the foul line. The ball gets stripped out of his hands. They don't take care of the damn ball. 16 turnovers again. When are they going to correct the turnovers? That translates into points.
Steve, can I ask you a question?
This team is not going to give them up.
Steve, what about a brick from Marcus Smart from 30 feet when there's nobody under the rim? How is that different than a turnover?
A brick. That's one, though.
No, I'm asking you, how is that different than a turnover? That's not one. It happened all the time.
He doesn't take bricks every year. He doesn't throw bricks.
It clearly was well more than one time, and how is that different than a turnover?
It's the same thing, Chris, but who's going to take the goddamn shots? Tell me.
Well, I mean,
that's a good point. It's a fair point.
I would not put the Lord's name in vain into this conversation.
The hell with the Lord's name in vain. How many shots should Tatum Brown take? 40?
I actually should say Brady's name in vain.
I love Brady, too. He's my favorite.
No, Steve, here's the situation. I just feel like growing up here, I would have hated Marcus Smart. Like, he's the guy that's trying to overshadow the superstar who doesn't realize his role on the team. And yes, that's partially Tatum's job to assert himself in that position, but it is Marcus Smart's job as a veteran to know when to talk, when not to talk, and to get the most out of the player that will bring them to the promised land. And he's not doing
that. You're right in that respect. You're right in that respect, but I'm going to tell you, and you were right before when you said he's never going to be a Kobe, Tatum. But he's got to assert himself. You see certain games where he gets really assertive and he's pumping his fist and he's yelling and screaming. I understand he's a very docile person, but he's got to get that demeanor in him all the time, because if he doesn't, he's never, ever going to achieve what he wants to achieve. This kid's a great player. I haven't seen anybody come down him, you know, the bike down him like since Larry Bird, with the way he plays. But he's got to get a little more aggressive. I understand the passiveness, but if you don't get aggressive, they're not going to respect you for what you are. And you're right. He sees it. He dies in his face, and the closest guy to him, he throws the ball. You got to set yourself up for success. Thanks, guys.
Have a good weekend, Steve. Enjoy your weekend. Right. Try to relax.
Who's more replaceable, Marcus Smart or Jason Tatum?
I don't know, but I mean, obviously Tatum is the answer, but Smart is the defensive player of the year. You got to give him credit for that.
If I hear defensive player of the year one more time.
Well, that is Scal said yesterday, the identity of this team is defense.
I remember when Xander McDaniels, I remember when the X-Man won sixth man of the year. That was a big night.
By the way, last night, plus minus, to play devil's advocate there.
Yeah, Tatum was plus.
Tatum was plus one. Smart was minus 17.
Oh, but that's all Tatum's fault. What are we doing here?
But Tatum, I can't Tatum blame is on Smart the for last night.
Tatum is on the precipice of being in rarefied air, of being a top three player in the NBA. Marcus Smart is a ballsy, gutsy defensive guy who takes bad shots and makes stupid comments after the game.
He inspired the team. He inspired the turnaround with those November comments. Dan in Worcester. Hi, Dan.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Hey, so I just want to talk about Marcus Smart is the leader of that team. You see it in the timeouts. You see it in the huddles. You see it in the press conferences after when he talks about the game plan and he talks about what his players are doing wrong and right. He calls them his guys. It's like he's the coach almost. He's a player coach.
Dan, they don't feel that way on the team. They don't feel like he's one of the guys.
I think they do, too,
and I also think Jaylen Brown doesn't get the ball nearly as much as he should. He shot 9 for 16 last game. While Tatum was 9 for 23, can we get Jaylen Brown more shots as much as Tatum maybe when he's feeling it? You know what I mean?
Yeah, but he missed two critical ones late. He was 9 for 19, not 9 for 16. He was good, and then he faded. I mean, up until whatever, at some point in the game, you were right, Curtis. It looked like Jaylen Brown was going to be NBA Finals MVP, and somebody asked him about it
right
after the game.
What
the first question. Can you play that again? Maybe play it in trending. Nick LePan will find it. Series tied up at 2. Best of 3. 2 in the Bay. No problem. Road Warrior team will take care of it.
What is the ceiling of this team next year if you remove Jason Tatum?
Oh, they're cooked.
Okay, what is their ceiling if you remove Marcus Smart?
Also in trouble.
What is their ceiling?
1 and done.
Okay, they're a deep playoff team without Marcus Smart. They're barely one without Tatum.
I've come to change my mind on that. They need Smart.
Why? Because he says things. Because he's like, I feel like Marcus Smart is this modern day Trot Nixon. Like, he's a dirt dog. We all love him. He's a pesky guy. Like,
if you could, Beal's not playing defense. This team, if Beal comes in here and replaces Smart, they're not stopping anybody. Then you got to outscore teams.
Okay, but It's tough to outscore teams when the offense looks the way it looked last night, no matter who's there.
Well, that's true. Here is your news. And Fitzy and Hart on the way in one, by the way. Kenneth Curtis here with you until that time. But here's what's happening in Boston sports.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Get Boston Sports Original on the go, wherever you go. Just download the Odyssey app.
We're right back to it. Ken and Curtis on WEEI.
Couple of ominous rejoins there, Nick. You feeling it after last night's loss?
Well, you can't go and blow game four when you should be up 3-1 and feel good.
Well, you can when the Celtics are 8-3 on the road in the playoffs. This is Hawk and Animal, Road Warriors, Celtics 0-2, 2022, Curtis, right? Haven't lost two in a row yet.
No, 6-7-0. Have we figured out yet? Is it 7-0 or 6-0? Was I wrong?
Anyway, I'm gonna go with 7.
7-0, average margin of victory of 16 points. Following a loss. So
you collapsed and allowed a 21-6 run to end the game in game four at home when you had a chance to take the stranglehold. No big deal.
It felt like last night was a crescendo is when you're building. A decrescendo begins at the top and goes down, correct?
A descent? Is it a decrescendo?
Yeah, it's a term for music. Yeah, when you're like building up or that's a crescendo.
There's no decrescendo.
Oh, there absolutely is. Absolutely is.
Never heard that term. And I have a music minor.
Okay, well... F for you, D-E, crescendo, means you begin at the top and you slowly go down. Oh, by the way, Tchaikovsky...
Somebody from Berkeley calling about that. Oh, I saw that. They're going to cancel the Tchaikovsky.
Did you see the Boston Globe editorial today?
No.
Let them play it. So this newspaper that has banned everything from Russia is now saying, but the Pops need to play Tchaikovsky 4400, whatever the hell it is.
A decrescendo is a decrease in loudness in a piece of music, according to the dictionary.
Damn.
I mean, God. Northeastern's in a decent school, but not quite BC. So, anyway, what the hell were we talking about? Oh, this felt like
really
last
nothing.
Night was a decrescendo. It began with all of this sort of the outside, the arena was alive. Boston was as electric as it's ever been. Banners was banana land. The whole area was great. The game starts off, the Celtics hot early, and it felt like you were surviving. Did you get that same feeling even before the final 6 minutes? It was like, hold on for dear life. Let's get this win, and then the series is over, because it felt like Golden State was...
Well, there's always that feeling with Steph. Like, even the last game, Curry hit that seven-point play. I mean, they were surviving in that one, and they did survive.
Right.
So, yes, anytime Curry's on the court, that feeling just exists.
They were down one after third quarter, I believe.
Down one.
And so it felt, you know, okay... Survived the third. That's been the bugaboo all series.
They have owned the fourth in this series. You're right. They did seem like the tired team.
They seemed tired. But even, you know, but it even felt like their offense, when it worked, wasn't actually flowing like it has in other stages. It felt like the shots were just landing at different times. It didn't feel like they were getting the exact look you wanted.
Game one was a perfect freaking game. Fourth quarter.
The fourth quarter in game one, you can't play better than that.
Let's go back to the phones. 617-779-7937. Jay and Saugus, this headline does not... sounds like you're not very optimistic here, Jay.
No, gentlemen. No, as far as I'm concerned, they blew the whole series last night. You have these guys on the ropes. There's no way they're going to win 2 out of 3 against Golden State. Especially... they screwed it up. And I'll tell you right now, if they do win the series, if they're lucky enough to win it, and they give the MVP to Tatum, it's a big joke.
Well, depending what happens the rest of the way, of course.
Yeah. Jay, I feel like I agree with you. If I hadn't said that so many times before, whether it was Milwaukee or Miami or different stages where I felt like they lost a game that they had, that they easily, or not easily, they should have had, and it was going to come back to bite them. To this point, it hasn't.
Curtis, I don't understand. Why can't they win these big games at home?
They have
the opportunity. I don't get it.
The whole arena, I mean, if they have everybody in their back, the whole place was going nuts. Draymond, they killed Draymond. The fans killed him.
Right.
But they can't win the game. It makes absolutely no sense.
No sense at all. I mean, that big the big run at the end of the game with the last few minutes, that's stupid. That was a 12-point turnaround? They were up by five, and then they, whatever
17-3. 17-3 run in the game.
Jesus, awful.
Not so bad. The last 7.5 minutes, they scored 6 points. 6 points in 7.5 minutes. 2 for 12.
One of those threes was the top of the key from Marcus. The shot clock.
Stop blaming Marcus.
No,
is not Marcus's fault.
I said one of the threes was Marcus.
Yeah, but you were ready to pounce on him.
No, I'm saying, I was just saying before that, Jesus, he was agent. I was just saying before that their offense was not exactly clicking. When they were scoring, it wasn't on a set play where they got the shot they wanted.
Right.
That was an example of two of the shots, half of them, came just as a buzzer beater on the shot clock at the end of the, when it was winding down. It wasn't exactly a set play.
Sorry for snapping. Here's Jim in the car. Hi, Jim.
Hi, guys. So Kurt, drive me nuts. I don't know what we're going to do here, but you keep on hopping on my man there, Kurt, Marcus Smart. All the time. How about the bunnies that, what's his name, Tatum missed? Two or three bunnies under the basket.
And White, yeah.
How about Jaylen Brown missing a layup all by himself? He misses a layup. You know, and you say Marcus Smart, you just said with the buzzer beaters, if the other guys aren't open, and Marcus makes great passes, you can't say he doesn't. I've seen him underneath the basket and throw it to a clear shot, and they miss it, or whatever. You know, and when he had the buzzer beater there, that was the 30-footer. He had to throw it up. Who the hell was going to shoot it?
Jim, you and Ken misunderstood what I was not ripping him there. That was nothing to do with – I was noting, because in the prior conversation I had discussed how the Celtics, even when they scored, it didn't seem like it was on an organized set play. And I was using that as an example, that half of their shots – that was one that went in. It was not ripping Smart. It was ripping the fact that they really didn't have any flow at all. That was what the point was with that specific thing.
A lot of those plays, they're not plays. A lot of the guys take that last shot. Well, last point.
Right. That wasn't. I'm not ripping him for it.
When Auerbach had the team and Tommy Heinsohn couldn't hit a shot with the hook, he kept on saying, "You just keep shooting." He didn't say not to shoot it. He kept on saying, "Shoot it." And then Tommy became better at it.
Who was the third best player on those teams, Jim? Give me an example. Who was the third best player on the team when
72 Celtics?
72 Celtics.
Well, you had Cousy, you had Charmin, you had a lot of good players there that could shoot the.
What was the game that Charmin came out and ripped Cousy?
Yeah, I don't know that one.
Okay, well, that's the whole point, Jim. I don't ever hear Jaylen Brown or other people ripping teammates the way I hear Marcus Smart. That's why I talk about it like
Dave Cowens used to bury JoJo White.
Oh, my God, JoJo White. What a nice gentleman.
Curtis, he does that to prick him up. He gets that, he tries to get them and get them going.
So why don't other people rip Marcus then? Why, if it's going to perk the other guys up, why don't they do the same or turn the favor?
When you're not on your game, doesn't Craig get you going in the morning?
Well, good point.
He's
Jim.
Tried everything, Jim. Everything fails. I'm never really ready to go. Have a good day, buddy.
But let me ask you, Craig, a question, honestly.
There are some days, it's a different world when you're in here, and I have to say, Wiggy is the – I love the man even more when I'm in studio because of the questions he asks during the break. It's just the way he and Greg like volley back and forth, and then Greg finally just like leaves the room because he just needs to, I don't know what, but it is a...
What was Wiggy? Wiggy guaranteed a win yesterday.
I know this
the Celtics win.
Right, but he's done that so many times.
Yeah, but that's a strange spot for him to guarantee it. He was feeling that confident.
I guess.
He must be depressed today then. Jay and Mattapan. Hi, Jay.
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for taking my call.
I just had a call. First, I want to give a shout-out to the fans who are not cheap that recognize the brilliance and the importance of one Marcus Smart. And you got a guy like this Curtis guy here that's been bashing Marcus Smart. And when you call him out, he says he's not bashing him. I called last week, and he wanted to have a conversation about something. Then he hangs up the phone on me and says that, hello, are you there? So I want
to
say,
Jay, last week I had nothing to do with the phone calls there, pal. If you want to say I did something I didn't, that's fine.
Okay, so someone else did it. I apologize. Now, I just want to get into, you keep saying that Marcus Smart's taking all these dumb shots and all that, but Jay, you don't talk about the fact that Tatum doesn't go and get the ball in the fourth quarter, and he stands in a corner, and he's basically MIA and just shuts down. Like, at least Marcus Smart has the balls to try to get something done. It's like you
can
you
I have a conversation, Jay, and I swear I'm not going to hang up the phone. You're going to talk as long as you want, and at the end I'm going to say thank you for the call. So we're not going to hang up. I would love a conversation. So when I said I wasn't ripping Marcus Smart for the three at the top of the key at the buzzer of the shot clock. That was the last caller didn't know what my point was. Not a new thing. Now, often people don't understand me, but that was not my point. I was not ripping him for that. The point with Marcus Smart is simple. I just said that Tatum needs to grab the leadership mantle as much as Marcus needs to allow him to grab it. It is a two-way street. The point that I make when I rip Marcus more than I rip Tatum is that Tatum is irreplaceable. His talent set is unique. It is something you must cultivate and not lose. And when I hear Marcus Smart at the end of a game tell the media that he needs more from Jason Tatum, and I hear Tatum asked about his poor performance, and he says, I'm trying my best out here. That's what I said. I said that's wrong. I don't like that as a teammate. I don't see how that makes them better.
But that's part of the problem is you twist these things. It's not exactly what Marcus said. Marcus said that he's behind him, and he's struggling, and he knows that he's going to get it done. He doesn't know when, but he's going to see his way out of it, and the team's got his back. That's what he said. So you want to take – that's another part of it. You
does Jason Tatum not know that he's struggling, Jay? Does Tatum not – why would you say he's struggling to the media? Why?
So now you're moving a goalpost.
No, I'm not. We're talking about his post-game comments. I'm asking why Marcus Smart feels compelled to tell the media that he believes Tatum is struggling. What does that help?
Because so that's who he is. He got asked a question, or he might have said it.
Right, did you hear Jaylen Brown ask the question? Jaylen was asked who the MVP is. He's like, I don't know, silly question, next. That's how you answer it.
Okay, so God forbid two people thinking differently. Okay, so
Well, you're asking why I have an opinion. I'm sharing it, and you're saying God forbid. I'm just explaining why I believe certain things.
No, that's not what I said. I said that you are twisting what Marcus. You just said, and then another thing.
Okay.
You say that Marcus Smart.
Nobody hung up on him. He just dropped. I don't know what happened there. That was strange.
Okay, don't blame me. My hands are right here.
Curtis, hands are right here. Let's go back and forth. It is interesting. Smart. And I've been defending him today for the most part, but he does come out and say something that on a normal basis, if you didn't know the backstory with all these guys, if this hadn't happened before, you would hear those comments, right? He's in a slump. He's got to figure it out. He says he's got to figure it out three times. You would think this guy is calling out his teammate and it's abnormal. It's an eyebrow raiser, right? You got a guy on his team who's saying, our star is in a slump. He's got to figure it out. You're like, whoa.
You know, let him know. Keep going. You know, this isn't your first time being in a slump. Won't be the last time. You got to figure it out. You know, we trust you, we believe in you, and this is what you're made for, you know, and Jason has to figure it out. We have to do a good job of helping him, but, you know, him being the player he is, these are the moments where he has to come alive and he has to figure it out.
Jason has to figure it out twice. He says that, and we'll do what we can, but he needs to figure it out.
Right. Like, do you remember like Edelman saying that about Brady? Like, boy, Brady's in a slump. He's got to figure this out.
Well, more importantly, do you ever remember Brady saying it about Edelman?
Yeah. Well, yeah. But in this case, it's kind of the reverse.
Like, right.
The top star of the team is getting called out. It would be something, but Smart is the leader of the team.
I need everybody. If you could, Nick, the final 30 seconds of that cut where he says, Smart has to figure it out, says we can do it, but Smart has to figure it out. The last part of that audio clip.
Do you disagree, first of all, with what he's saying?
No, of course not.
He's speaking the truth.
Right.
Everybody admits it. Everybody agrees. However, the fact that he says it is something.
Right. Do you remember the time when Belichick said Brady has to stop throwing interceptions? No, he's never said it.
He said not open heart surgery, which was something. But that was
a personal issue that they had with one another, but that had nothing to do with the play on the field.
Yeah.
We trust you. We believe in you. And this is what you made for. You know, and Jason has to figure it out. We have to do a good job of helping him, but, you know, him being the player he is, these are the moments where he has to come alive and he has to figure it out, and he will.
He has to figure it out. These are the moments he has to come alive. He will. We can try and help him, but he has to figure it out. In what way am I misconstruing what he said?
You're not, except for the most part, people have come to accept that as this is what Smart's going to do, including his teammates. It's normal. It's par for the course with this team.
But it's so strange to me. It's like, why?
Well, I know. But
why are you running to this guy's defense and not the guy who is the one who will bring you to the promised land?
Because Tatum was anointed top five player. He's arisen. He's here. He's arrived. And he shot 4 for 17 to finish the game.
Right. Awful.
While Curry was sinking shots all over the place.
Played like absolute dog food. As I said at the beginning of this show, what began as where will Tatum land in the hierarchy of the NBA is now devolving to a point of Steph Curry reasserting himself and Tatum exposing more questions than answers. That's the storyline if they lose this series.
The counterargument is, why does Curry have 43 points if Smart's the defensive player of the year? What happened defensively? But then again, it's just explained away as, well, it's Curry.
And if they lose this series, nationally, the story will be Steph Curry won, Tatum failed. Tatum choked.
Yeah, or the Celtics collapsed. Aren't ready yet. They're still too immature.
But the story is Tatum nationally. It's not Marcus Smart.
Ricky in the car on Tatum. Hi, Ricky.
Hi. So the problem with Jason Tatum, it's not really a problem. It's a void in his game, is that, and this is why he struggles, you know, periodically down the stretches of big games. He doesn't have two or three absolute go-to moves where it doesn't matter what the defense shows him. He can get a good high percentage shot off. He doesn't have a comfort area a la Paul Pierce had. And I'll reference a guy like Bernard King. If you watch the Bernard King documentary, he literally had 9 or 10 areas on the court where he knew, despite what the defense showed him, he could get a good high percentage shot off. It's not a lack of being aggressive, because I think Tatum is an aggressive player. He hasn't developed those two or three absolute go-to moves at the end of the game. Whether he misses them or he makes them, fine. But he got the shot he wanted. He hasn't developed. You look at Jaylen Brown. He's got one shot. He gets into the paint.
Goes to the right.
And he has a little fadeaway. He at least has one patented move that he goes to. I don't consider that sidestep three-pointer by Tatum a patented go-to move. And until he develops those moves, I can't call him elite. And I'm wondering why the coach hasn't said, listen, he was under the tutelage of Kobe Bryant. I'm surprised Kobe hasn't said, listen, you know, when things bog down in the half court like they do in the playoffs, you've got to develop, and I know I'm repeating myself, multiple go-to moves in an area that you feel comfortable with.
He may basically said that, Ricky, after the game. He's got the mid-range game. That's not a bad shot for him. He attacked too much last night. He was basically too predictable, kind of to your point.
But I don't see Tatum, like, going down to the low block. And another thing would benefit him, he wouldn't have to dribble as much. He receives the ball, and he immediately turns and shoots or something like that. You know, and until he develops these things, I can't call him elite.
I think he's elite, but he certainly has room to grow. He's 24. Although you were looking up Kobe won at age 21, right? Kobe won three titles at 21, 22, 23.
And to make it even for everybody who thinks I hate Smart and love Tatum, Tatum brings this on himself. If you're going to text Kobe, which is fine, and then share that with the world, you are putting this on you. If you're going to wear the 24 wristband, if you want to be viewed as a guy that's, you know, mimicking the performances of one of the great closers in all of sports history, then you can't have performances like you had last night.
Do you bring out the Kobe wristband for game 5, 6, or 7?
No. For me, I would just wear a Marcus Smart Defensive Player of the Year wristband. See, I support you, my friend.
Fitzy and Hart at 1. Ken and Curtis continues. More of your thoughts on the Celtics' loss last night.
Why are people so sensitive about Marcus Smart? I don't understand
it. Because it wasn't his fault.
I know, but it's like these people.
He's not the story today. It's Tatum and Curry, or one or the other.
Right.
Not Smart.
Agreed. But Smart.
Hi.
Smart made himself the story when he ripped his teammate's performance, who would have been the story without those comments. Comprehend?
But he's not really.
Okay.
But we disagree. But yes, sort of.
I'm not talking about Smart's performance. I'm talking about his comments.
His media performance.
Yes. Media-wise.
All right, more next.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
We're back. Ken and Curtis on WEEI.
Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
All right, Monday night. Monday night is the game 5. Now, Golden State, 2 of the next 3 games. Odds say, though, per Curtis's guy at, what is it?
Not my guy, 538.
538 Sports. That's 538 Sports. It's just...
It's the sports wing of 538, which is a analytical website that kind of got an election wrong.
62% in favor of the Celtics winning the series?
63. That's what they say the odds are right now with the series tied at 2. After the Celtics had won game 1 in Golden State, the odds, or the likelihood, according to their website, was 92% that the Celtics win the title.
So nothing to worry about. Do you see a... close game the rest of the way? Like, we've had some blowouts in this. Last night was the first, not the first, I guess, because the Celtics in game 1 did pull away.
Last night felt like the first sort of final 5 minutes where it was going to go back and forth. But even then, it felt in those moments like Golden State had all the momentum, despite it being on the road and despite it not being that. The 5-point lead felt much bigger when Steph Curry went to the hole and got that, you know, disputed foul call on Al Horford. It felt, I don't know, not unattainable, but
slipping away.
They just didn't have gas. Tatum was definitely tired, and the shoulder thing is likely going to be the storyline that he will send out there if they lose, where, you know, it's going to be, I was banged up, I did the best I could, whatever. All the complaining and consternation that people have with my discussion of Marcus Smart, if the Celtics lose 2 of the next 3, the storyline in Boston all winter, all summer, heading into next winter, will be about Tatum coming up small and Steph beating them. It'll be about teammate inability to create more plays. It'll be about whatever. It's not going to be...
For Wiggy, it's already, is Smart the proper third star of the team? Should they make a move? Should they tweak? Do you stay the course or do you make a major move?
But for Tatum and what he is seeking to achieve and the levels he's seeking to reach, nationally, there will be no conversation about where he is in the pantheon should they lose 2 of the next 3. He will still need to get back to this point.
508 texter, I feel like Tatum's shoulder is messing with his shot. That's why he's been going to the hole more. But I also feel like that's what Tatum is wanting us to think. Dan Greenberg, you mentioned Greeny Barstool. Greeny, he's shooting 25% in the paint for the series, Tatum.
Yeah, and as I said earlier, I don't like the fact that Tatum grabs his shoulder. I think that's performative in a way, and it's either conscious or subconscious, him trying to tell the world that he's dinged up.
Go to John in the car. Hi, John.
Yeah, it's like when Marcus Smart goes running up and down the
corridor like Usain Bolt, and then he comes out to the floor and he's limping around like somebody just shot him. They're all the same DNA. Here's the problem that I see, and correct me if I'm wrong, but is Golden State pretty much healthy?
Well, Curry's foot, I guess, was the big question, but yes, I guess so. Looked like it last night.
You go back to Miami, and Hero got hurt. They were missing their shooting guy. You go back to Milwaukee, they played the whole series without Middleton. I don't remember the Brooklyn series, but I think somebody was out in the Brooklyn. They've had a pretty, I'm not going to say lucky, but they've won the series, it's fine, but they're yet to play a team that's fully healthy, and now they are. And maybe, you know, that's showing a little bit, because Tatum's the same way. You know, he falls down and grabs his arm, but then he fires one of those double overhand bullet passes across the floor, and the shoulder seems fine. So, I mean, it's very selective to me. The problem is this: the dysfunction in that room is more than we think it is, and whether they win or lose this series, Marcus Smart has to go, because he's obviously the lightning rod that causes all of this nonsense.
I don't worry, he's the lightning rod that turned the season around in November, and he's the leader they can't do without.
Yeah, I won't go that far. I don't think they need to have him go. I just think he's not helping the situation last night. Just like Tatum's not helping the situation by grabbing his arm, Marcus Smart does not have to answer honestly to every question, especially when you're in the middle of a series. At the conclusion of the series, if the season ends, and you want to get some things off your chest, totally understandable. Still wouldn't like it, but I understand it. I don't understand the net gain of doing it there. And if you're going to keep citing something you said in November that somehow mysteriously led to a great win in January, I find that somewhat hard to believe.
Well, relax this weekend. I mean, plenty of good sports talk, and we'll be analyzing it all weekend. Fitzy and Hart coming up next. But Curtis has the big high school reunion in
Weston.
Weston. I won't say Dover, but Weston, River School. 20 years?
20 years.
Man, are you old?
Ain't they?
20-year reunion.
Yeah, we had, I don't know, my two friends, Jordan and Carl, I think are still sleeping at our house right now.
I have not gone to any of my high school reunions. Why did you feel the need to go to this?
Feel the need? Because two of my friends were coming to town. Might as well. I think there's only 12 of us that are going.
Oh, really? Really?
But our graduating class was like 60, so I guess that's still like 20%. But why not?
All right, fine. I mean, I hope you have a good time.
I saw where you went to high school. I wouldn't go back there either. You've come a long way, Ken.
Yeah, thank you very much. Ops manager. Don't forget that. Now, Monday, back on the Greg Hill Show, Curtis in the big chair again. Courtney's going to be out, right? Because she's got the big wedding today. Congrats to Courtney and Santo.
Yes.
Hope everything goes great.
Make sure you guys stay hydrated down there. And in all sincerity, congratulations. That is a big day. Enjoy it.
But not the honeymoon. She's just taking an extra day Monday, and then we'll be back on Tuesday.
No, they're honeymooning in Brighton. They're coming to the studio.
Oh, good. Yeah, well, that's a good, great idea. All right, Greg Hill back Monday, of course. But next, Fitzy and Hart, followed by the Bradfo Show. And, of course, Red Sox baseball tonight. Nick LaPan produced it. Ninth day in a row that he's been working. Great job, Nick.
I got to go rent the Mustang. I'm going to drive to my reunion in a brand-new convertible.
All right. See ya.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.